disaster. Can't have that. I'm tempted to go fix it. Welcome to each and every one of you. Just shut up. I don't want to hear you anymore. Be quiet. Let's see. No way, period. Do not wake her up, period. I'll just talk to you, period. She needs her rest. You're like, what are you doing, EZ? That's my pal, David Beamer. He's one of the first people that ever I ever even engaged or met after we moved here 20 years ago. Oh, my God. I'm going to bring him in. He's the dad of Megan Beamer, who hit the three damn home runs in the ladies softball game. I'll bring him in right now.
Hello.
Mr. David.
What's up, buddy?
How are you? I'm on the podcast right now, so you can't say any bad words like you normally do.
No problem.
It is. First of all, it's great to hear your voice.
That's good talking to you.
It's been 20 years since we moved to West Michigan. You were one of the first families that we ever met. As soon as I met you guys, I was like, these people are fun. I love them. And then the rest is history.
There's a ton of great people in West Michigan.
Absolutely. I don't think your lovely Megan was born yet.
Probably not.
Because she's what, 17, 18?
She will be 18. No. She's 18, yes. I should know this.
You better. You had sent me a heads up and said, hey, maybe we can both be on and you can chat us up about how this Hudsonville Eagles team. And then you said, oh, she's taking a nap. And I'm like, well, don't wake her up. We need her to rest. So,
for sure.
Yes. Yesterday was big because they upset the Farmington Hills Mercy team. And they mercied them, which was fantastic. Did you expect that, or did you think it was going to be a closer fight?
I definitely thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, we have an outstanding pitching staff, and they also have an outstanding pitcher, too. So I thought it was going to be a low-scoring affair.
Yeah, I guess that kid is from Farmington Hills is going to Alabama and is just, you know, full-ride scholarship. Incredible pitcher, and you guys shut her down. That was spectacular, man.
She's definitely a legit pitcher. You know, they had a couple errors and miscues that kind of started things, and then we jumped on it, and yeah, we had some really solid contact.
Megan, Mighty Megan, in the quarterfinal game before yesterday's game, she hit three home runs. She kind of was like, we're not going home yet. Get on my back. And she hits three consecutive. That's like Reggie Jackson, you know? That's unbelievable.
I think she wanted to feel what it felt like to be a power hitter, because that's not normally her forte.
Wow. Really?
I mean, she can hit for power, but the other pitcher was throwing pretty hard. So she gave a lot of the power. So, and she made solid contact, and I mean, she launched some bombs.
So were you actually at the game?
Yeah.
That was in Mount Pleasant, I understand. And, So, okay, take me through it. Up the first one, home run, you're thinking, oh, all right. So it's early in the game, but as the game goes on, Megan comes up again. What goes through your mind as that ball goes over the fence for home run number two?
The first thing that went through my mind is, okay, now we're only down one, because you know we were the home team, so we were batting second. First in the first inning, she leads off, so she hit the first home run. But then a couple innings later, they ended up loading the bases. And then they hit a bases clearing double. So we were down 3-1 for the next few innings.
Yeah.
And so we knew we needed to get back to within striking distance. So when she hit that second home run and now it's 3-2, we're like, okay, now we can still make a run at this thing.
Okay. So third time up, people were like, the opposition would probably, it would be a good idea to walk her, right? I mean, but you had like a great hitter behind Megan.
Yeah, I mean, the front, we have, if you walk Megan for one, she's pretty quick. I mean, she's stolen over 50 bases this year. So if you walk her, there's a decent chance that she's going to be end up on second base as it is.
Okay.
So I think that's probably the main reason that they didn't walk her. And we do have very good hitters behind her. So if you walk her, you know, most of the time, you know, we're going to make you pay at some point.
Yeah, I noticed yesterday she was on first and she scored from first on a double by whoever was hitting behind her. And I apologize for not knowing all the names, but I've just kind of dove into the story. Everybody's on board with the story. The whole community now is talking about this team.
It's been a fun ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just like the whole thing that, I mean, you know, local high school team is kicking butt and everybody is on board. That's always fun when that happens, you know.
Yeah.
Because
I think heading into the season, we knew we had a good team. I think we've exceeded expectations. I didn't think we'd be undefeated at 41-0 right now.
Okay. So now the stage is set. After that, when she hits that third home run in that game and that was a walk-off home run to win the game for Hudsonville. Prior to that, there was a great squeeze play to bring home a run. I mean, these are nail-biter games that you guys were witnessing. And then for her to hit the walk-off home run, my God, were you and Trace both at the game?
Yes.
Oh, I can just imagine the pandemonium there.
It was electric. I was there. Both Amanda and Hannah, our other two daughters, were there. My mother was there with us too. And when she hit that last one, it was just complete disbelief. I mean, I didn't think it was going to go out because it was a line drive, and I thought it was going to hit the top of the fence. But somehow it cleared.
That is so cool. I mean, she is. This is top notch. Now she is. This is really, really big. So let's focus on the team. They play tomorrow for the state title at 10 a.m. against a team from Lake Orion, Michigan. How yep. What's the mindset of the ladies going into this one?
That's a good question. I think they've got a high level of confidence. I think they know what they can do, and they're peaking at the right time. So, you know, last year we had a very, very talented team, and we weren't peaking at the right time. And all it takes is one bad game.
Yeah, Jennison beat you. That's doubly bad because you're out, and it's rival school just humiliates them.
Yeah, and I mean, last year at that point we were 38-1 going into that game too. So I mean, we had a very, very strong team last year too.
Oh, God. I was talking about this on, I do a separate podcast, and I was talking about the how much I like softball as a game to watch because of the compact field. It's bang bang plays. It's great energy. Everybody's fired up. Every pitch is important the whole year long, and it's just fun. What a fun game for a young lady to get involved with. That is excitement at its finest, in my opinion. I love softball.
Oh, it's been great. And you know, she's played together with a lot of these girls for a number of years. You know, so there's just relationships that you've built over the years, both her between the teams and the parents. It's the chemistry is really, really strong.
Yeah, it's going to be something because this game goes down, God willing, there's a win, and then that's it. They may never see some of those girls ever again. They're just going to kind of go and maybe play college ball, maybe go do their own thing. Who knows? So this is going to be like tears and joy and all that stuff. It's going to be incredible, Dave.
It's going to be pretty sweet.
Okay. So on a personal note, Megan is off to Michigan, right? She's going to play softball for Michigan?
Yep.
That's exciting. Yeah. So that was a whole recruiting process, all that stuff. They wanted her there, and then off she goes.
Yep.
Man, that is fantastic. You must be very proud of all of your daughters.
Absolutely.
Is there any... Now, okay, you got the three girls. What if, are they like, all right, is there any jealousy because of all the attention for young Megan?
No, there certainly doesn't seem to be. I don't think so. You know, there is every now and then. So every now and then, somebody will come up and say, "So are you the softball?" Nope, I'm not that one.
Okay. Yep. Okay. But, fair enough.
But no, they're very, very supportive of their sister.
I'm looking at the live chat on the show, and numerous people are commenting on the strength and power of your voice. They're very much loving. The vocal stylings of David Beamer.
Well, I've got a face for radio.
You're well, that's the thing. People are like, my God, he sounds like he's a giant. You're right. He is. He's one of the biggest people I've ever interacted with in my entire life.
That's funny.
You told me earlier today that you were in a meeting. I thought you retired.
Quasi-retired.
Ah, come on, Dave. You've worked so hard.
Mostly retired.
A lot of people don't know that when the Grand Rapids Griffins won their most recent title, your company at the time was making the championship rings. You actually made the rings for the team.
Mm-hmm.
That was that's good to know that your hand is on that. So I'm
very cool.
You
got one of those.
I do have one. I have two of those actually. I hope you run. I remember you told me that you went over to Gortzma's house after they won the title and you put a ring sizing. Device or whatever that thing is on his door handle.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, good luck tomorrow with the ladies, and I just hope you have fun, and may the best team win, and I appreciate the time, and give Megan all the tell her I said good luck, and everybody's pulling for him.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Okay, buddy, talk and tell Trace I said hi to, and everybody else.
You got it.
All right. See ya. Thank you.
Bye.
That's Dave, Big Voice Beamer. And you're right. He does sound incredible. Megan starts it with, this dude has some pipes. Jeremy says, baby. Mr. Beamer in previous life as he's Arthur P. How do you know that? Are you from that neck of the woods? Rob says, teach him to be a radio puker, and we have a new Harry Callis. Harry Callis. Philadelphia Eagles, right? Kenny says, this dude should try his hand at being voice guy for movie trailers. Rob throws out, this guy sounds like an intelligent-sounding Jason Schaefer. Chris says he needs to sing Hoist the Colors for us. I don't know what that is. How about, can he say Beef, It's What's for Dinner? Or Coors, the banquet beer. Megan says roast beef is so expensive as we continue to not be able to outrun the roast beef references for some reason. How that took hold, I don't know. Maureen says, fun fact, my high school softball team made it to the state semifinals, but we got beat in a game we could have won. Ugh. I didn't know you were a lesbian. I'm kidding. That's horrible. Rob says, nothing either of them is saying is registering. I'm just so turned on by this voice. Kenny says he sounds like Andre the Giant, except you can actually understand what he's saying. Bob says, I'm just picturing Eric talking to Sam Elliott. Megan references something she referenced on the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, which, you know, cat's out of the bag. She writes, I did poop again today. Things are back to good. You're welcome. Well, thank God. Megan said that while she was on a trip, and she made it seem like this is normal, but it's not. She announced that she shit yesterday for the first time in 7 days. Which might be some kind of record. Frankly. And she goes, oh, yeah, but I was on a trip. And, you know, and I'm like, well, what? Huh? What does that have to do with it? Does your colon stop working when you're on a trip? Oh, well, you know, I was eating junk food. Yeah, okay. I've eaten junk food, too. I just don't understand how, because you ate junk food, your colon stopped working. So after 7 days of eating garbage food, she pushes out this monstrosity. She left it there because she didn't give any more details, but I can just imagine how many times that went around the bowl. That must have felt outrageous. First of all, actually in your gut, that is suddenly, well, it was stuffed full like a fight. Your colon was stuffed like the big part of a football all the way throughout your body. Your colon is several feet long. So picture your colon being stuffed like a NFL football that's fully inflated all the way around. And then all of that shit has to be pushed out of your teeny tiny butthole. It's like when you have that thing on the Play-Doh Fun Factory to make the stars. That's what was flying out of you. Nick writes, Randy Marsh style. Oh, hot, hot, hot. I don't know what that means. Patrick says, I eat Buc-ee's every chance I get, and I don't have that problem. Bob says, I don't know why, but when I was a teenager, I didn't drop a deuce for a whole month. Okay, you're lying. That is a lie. You just lied right here. Kenny writes, her colon was stuffed the way Amanda wishes hers was. I see what you're saying. So where Megan's colon would be stuffed with used food, Megan's would be stuffed with dick. Kenny gets lots of laughs on that. A lot of people loved that joke. Speaking of Kenny, he woke up today, and I guess he woke up to, the neighbor's house exploding. I felt it through the wall of my apartment. I ran outside. He's probably like, I thought I farted. I ran outside expecting to see a car slammed into the side of the... When you say you ran outside, can we maybe... you might have to reevaluate this story. I'm already curious about it with the line, I ran outside. Did the house even explode? It most certainly did. That's it. You can actually see Kenny walked over. And he's like, hey! And this is, you know, how you would expect. This guy's running there. He just got off his bike. This guy's walking. He's like, I'll be right there to help. Hang on, I'm running over. when Kenny was running over, they stopped trying to help the family and tried to help him. This guy, he's like, what the hell is going on? Fire's burning. This guy's on the ground for some reason. I don't know what the fuck happened to him. And then there's shit everywhere. Wow. I think there's a news story accompanying this. I think Kenny actually sent me to see if I can get that. Kenny says, I hustled, LOL. Again, relative. Rob says, the Z-Speed guy got the wrong address. So is the suggestion there that guy from Z-Speed Mobile Mechanic tried to murder Kenny? The news crew was on the scene of this one. This is the community known as Gallatin.
Hair doesn't make the man.
Some may say Gallatin, but I think you'd be making a mistake.
Through hims, you can explore.
They'd probably beat your ass if you referred to it as Gallatin.
Serums or pills. At hims.com, you can get access to medication 100% online and have it shipped in a low-key package.
The explosion happened.
Regrow your hair
in the neighborhood.
It's that simple.
And the news crew was on the scene.
Grow hair.
Let's check out the story right now.
Get started today at hims.com.
Remember, we are following this breaking news out of Gallatin. This
wow.
is a live picture from Sky 5. They just got to the scene to give you this exclusive overhead view.
Kenny, are you in this shot?
View of this house explosion.
I want to see if we can get an image of you hustling over.
Ocean on Chaffin Court. You can see there is not much left of this house. Look at the damage.
Wow.
We just spoke to the Gallatin fire chief moments ago who did confirm a woman who lived at this home was seriously injured with some second degree burns. She was rushed to Skyline. But the good news here, we're told she is awake and speaking with physicians. So right now, crews do suspect natural gas was the cause of this explosion, but they are still investigating. Again, our prayers are with her and her recovery, but that is a silver lining there that at least she's awake and alert wow. and able to communicate
that's
with them.
That's saying
so,
something. I mean, that is just
that is so scary.
Mm. Imagine if they, like, spoke to her from the hospital bed, and she's like, well, I started out a bad day. I had a conversation with this guy, and he wouldn't stop talking. Whenever I tried to lighten the mood with some jokes, he would always take them literally and think that I was being serious. And when I realized that there was no end in sight to this conversation from this man who's not getting any of my jokes and taking everything literally and going on and on and on and on and on, I'd have decided to go in and take my own life. So I turned the gas on high, I put my head in the oven, and then I got a flare and threw it behind me. Kenny writes, no, that didn't happen. That's pretty normal for Kenny, for me to bust out the joke and say, that it, no, uh-uh, that is not true. Rob says, my God, it looks like Mariupol, which I'm not sure what that is. I think that's someplace in the Middle East. And Rob says, hopefully it was just a gas leak. Well, of course it was a gas leak. It's always a gas leak. Kenny says, I was trying to be funny. I know you were. I know you were trying to be funny. It was just a joke. You see, that's what you have set the table for me, because for now, I don't know, a dozen years, whenever I say anything, you go, no, it didn't happen that way. No, that's not true. Do you remember that one country, that Middle Eastern country? I forgot where it was, where some building blew up. God, I forgot what that was. It was just a few years ago. Giant building explodes. It was at a port, Middle East port. Oh, it was Beirut. Yes. That was incredible. Let's see if I can get this for you. Kenny's trying to tell me I messed up the joke. No, I didn't mess up the joke. Quit trying to just, you were doing fine. Just no more type. Just shh. Sit there and be fluffy. We've moved on. Watch this explosion. This is like the mother of all giant explosions. I think it was something in shipping containers was combustible or some shit like that.
There are sources. Fireworks were being as an accelerant in a fire.
Watch this one.
In video from the day of the blast, you can see white flashes, what appear to be fireworks, going off before the massive explosion.
Whoa! My God!
A former port worker told the Guardian newspaper he warned for years it was a disaster waiting to happen and says nothing was done.
Again. Did you see all that shit fly off of those surrounding buildings? Hold on. Okay, so then it goes up. Watch this tall building right here. Wow! It's like they all get destroyed. Oh my God! Kenny says that's what it felt like this morning. Yeah, that is, I'm going to go back and get why that happened again. Because they talked about fireworks.
Allegations tonight about that deadly port explosion in Beirut. Sources have...
How is the whole country not gone? Or at least the entire downtown in Beirut?
Told the Guardian newspaper that prior to the blast, dozens of bags of fireworks were being stored in the same warehouse as that stockpile of ammonium nitrate. Which
that's what was used to blow up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City.
Which acts as an accelerant in a fire.
So fireworks and ammonium nitrate. All right, we're going to put all the deadly shit in one warehouse.
In video from the day of the blast, you can see white flashes, what appear to be fireworks, going off before the massive explosion. A former port worker told the Guardian newspaper he warned for...
That makes you think that the casualties there had to have been... That had to be 100,000 dead, okay? The guy who made the atomic bomb in the U.S. is like, that's crazy! That's the biggest thing... What's that guy's name? Well, they just made a movie about it. Cillian Murphy. What the fuck is that dick's name who... Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer's like, my God, look at the size of that fucking thing. By the way, Darla looking incredibly cute right now. Blink, blink, blinky, blink. I was tipped off by Chris about how to get rid of this little heart icon on the screen. I'm going to do that. I was just reminded of it right now when it blocked one of your chats. Chris knew that it was ammonium nitrate, a massive amount of... How do you remember this shit? You've got some kind of like photographic memory. I couldn't even remember where it happened. You're telling me what actually exploded. Rob says, I remember seeing this. It happened between the freebie and the Patreon. The first reaction was great. All right. Megan writes, how? it's on my end. I have to go and remove the little heart icon. He said, and Chris says, I don't know if it works, but it might. I'm going to try it out. Okay. As usual, you guys have been a great audience. Once again, I thank you so very much for being here, and enjoy your weekend. Happy early Father's Day to the dads. Okay. So hope it's a good one for you. I know I'll have a great time with my family and with my pops. Hopefully you do too. I'll talk to you bright and early. Well, kind of bright and early on Monday. Till then, folks, have a good one. Bye-bye. Hello to you all. Welcome in. A little bit of pizza there. Like, easy, where does that come from? Why does it pizza? Why do we say pizza? Well, it's because. Well, more than just because. Nah, it's a long story. My new favorite college athlete, college football player. I think he was out of West Virginia. He finished up his, no, that's not true. He was being recruited by West Virginia. He's out of Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And this three-star out of five linebacker has announced that he's going to be playing football at Eastern Michigan University. You know, smaller school. I don't know what would have been the big draw, but top athlete Noah Kanaga is going to Eastern Michigan. Now, you might be like, so what? Noah Kanaga is going to Eastern Michigan. The only interesting thing about Noah Kanaga is his name. EZ, what is so interesting about the name Noah Kanaga? Well, nothing really when you say it as Noah Kanaga. But when you spell out Noah Kanaga's name, do you remember this story? We'd been talking about him for about 6 months. Noah Kanaga. Kanaga is spelled K-N-I-G-G-A. Okay. Honestly. It's very, very murky water if I even joke about this. Because I could accidentally say something that I am not supposed to say. But this kid is now going to be playing for the Eastern Michigan Eagles. And if you're their broadcast team, you now have to look at the roster every day. And you gotta think it through. You notice that when I'm saying Noah Kanaga every time, it's almost awkward and uncomfortable the way I'm doing it. Noah Kanaga. Kanaga. I don't know why the family didn't just rebrand the name. It's a fantastic name, Noah Kanaga. But if I'm a broadcaster, I'm a little concerned. Outstanding. Outstanding. That Noah Kanaga is going to be playing football in the great state of Michigan. You know, there's a chance that Bill Simonson's kid. Totally different topic. I'm now changing topics. But can you imagine if the huge show started talking about Noah Kanaga? Bill would be so uncomfortable with that. Jeremy describes it as a real-life Key and Peele name. Simonson's kid is off to, I think he either went or is about to go to another college recruiting camp at Iowa. Bill's kid is also a three-star athlete. So right now, as a three-star, Bill's kid is going to end up going to an Eastern Michigan or maybe a shitty Big Ten school. I think he just went to Pittsburgh, the kid, which they kind of suck dick. Iowa, whatever. Maybe it's possible. Bill's kid has an entire year to play this high school football season at Forest Hills Eastern. And let's say Bill's kid kicks ass. He can be a four-star recruit by the time, maybe even a five. I don't know how that works. But I am hoping that Bill's kid will have to defend Noah Kanaga somehow. Or maybe those two can be on the same team. Nick says, talks about where I was just going to go. I hope he ends up at MSU or Ohio State. Fuck yes. I want that kid to have a great year. And then he goes to Ohio State because Bill is so, you know, involved rooting for his kid. Who wouldn't? That if the kid goes to Ohio State, I don't know about you, but if I'm like Mr. Michigan like he is, which is just stupid, in my opinion, I don't know about that, but it's just Michigan fan just annoys me. You know how it is. And my kid ends up going to Ohio State. All day long, I'm going to root for Ohio State. It's tough. It's tough for me to even comment on that because I'm not a slappy. I don't give a shit. Farmer Tan. Look at that. My God. I don't have anything like that that I root for. But I would have to give up my allegiance to Michigan if my kid ends up going to Ohio State. He's going to have to wear Ohio State colors. All that shit. So I'm quietly rooting that the kid, Ace, has another fantastic year and that Ryan Day has to come over to the Simonson household to invite him to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And just the look on fuckface Bill's face. When Ryan Day comes over and invites him to play for him. Bill's kid is pretty rare because I think he's got a pretty, as they say, smart football IQ. And he's not overly gigantic. He's like 6'2", 300 pounds, but he's fast as fuck. And he'll just put you on your ass. Our old pal Nick says, what is that a tattoo of, EZ? I didn't know you had some ink. Oh. Well, this is the Mr. 10 tattoo. Do you not know about the story of Mr. 10? Come on now. That's me in a Speedo. And it says, I am Mr. 10. If you don't know, Mr. 10 was a man pageant. 1989 or 90 or some shit like that at Central Michigan University. And I was all into lifting weights and shit. I was all buff. And I entered this man pageant. And I revealed that on the air, on the radio. And I shared the video with my old pals, Greg and Chris. And it was just ridiculous. It was a real great beat-up session of this Mr. 10 thing. Right at about the same time, we started raising funds for the AT Children's Project. We needed to raise like $80,000 or $70,000 for some medical study, a medical trial for a new medicine for this disease that very rare disease, child killing disease that we partnered with them because of a friend in the family. Their kids both had it and they both passed, Kate and Olivia. But anyway, we funded the study and I said, if we raise that money, I will get a tattoo. I'll get a tattoo of, and we agreed that it would be a tattoo of a still image from the Mr. 10 pageant. Because in it, I'm in my Speedo. I'm like all pumped up and shit and dancing like a fucking idiot. It's horrible. Horrible. I am going to look it up when I get done with the show. And if I find it, I will link it in the show notes. And you can see how disgusting this is. So bad. Well, anyway, that's what that is. That's the Reader's Digest story of it. You need to dig up the video of you doing the Running Man. It's in there. It's in that video. If I find that fucking video, I will link it up here. I'm not watching that shit. Fuck that. But you can. My God, Mr. 10. All right. Let's check out a brawl. This is a Father's Day golf outing. The family's getting together with dad. And things get out of hand, and this huge brawl breaks out. This is something. Okay, check this out. Here we go. It's from far away, like a guy's at the tee box. And it looks like 3-on-3. Oh, wow.
Look at this shit.
The one guy keeps getting knocked down, and then he, like, gets up.
Look at this shit. The fuck is going on here?
Holy shit.
Full fucking brawl.
Oh, wow. They're
beating him down. Guy's got his shirt over his head.
Put the camera on him, idiot.
Look at this. Fuck. Ooh, take him down.
Boom. Okay, those are big punches. Well, I don't know how much they hurt. I don't know how much they're putting behind those punches. I mean, if you have that open of a shot on a punch with nothing stopping your blow, there's no hands up or anything. This is a sucker punch right here, by the way. This guy on the ground is engaged with someone else, and this guy gets up and starts hitting him. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. Secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Those are just giant haymakers. That was ugly. But good too, in the same way. I don't know. I don't think anybody really got hurt in that fight. How can you be able to land a flush punch like that and no one's really getting hurt? Because most people probably really don't know how to fight. You know, they're just throwing their hands. I mean, I don't know how to fight. My God. I'll be the first one to admit that. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I think if I were involved in a fight, the only way I could ever do anything is if I accepted the fact that I'm going to get my ass beat. I think I have a high pain tolerance. And if I can avoid getting knocked out, like my nose might be sideways, I might be bleeding from my eyes, all my teeth might be knocked out. But as long as I'm not losing my conscience, if I'm not being knocked out, I can, I think I would have potential to like dig out someone's eye. And that's how I would fight. I'd be poking eyes, trying to dig out their eye, actually trying to rip a cock off is how I would fight. Okay. Whatever it takes, you know? So while they're beating my ass with like solid punches and jiu-jitsu, I'm going to go goddamn berserker and just turn into like a savage. And I'm not going to stop. I would like to think that I would have that type of, I mean, that's big talk. I think once I get punched, I might just go, oh, fuck, goddamn. But in my heart of hearts, I think that would be great if you got into a big fucking fight with somebody who knows what they're doing. And then while they're beating your ass, you manage to actually injure them in some particular way. Like maybe it's that finger blast thing we're talking about, where I'll jam my finger so far into his eye that his eye is not there anymore. It's been moved over to like where his eardrum is. Because I think that would be goddamn great in a fight. Nick says, you just got to flex at him and scream, I'm Mr. 10, and they should run away. The Detroit Lions, at the end of, just before the end of their games this year. I think it was just before the playoff game or one of the playoff games. They released a defensive player by the name of Isaiah Bugs. It was a big, burly guy with a big beard, and he was a defensive lineman. So he's right in the middle. He's a big guy. He's just trying to stop the run, and a lot of people liked Isaiah Bugs. And we're like, oh, man, we got rid of Isaiah Bugs. What happened? What the hell? And that was it. And so that was the end of his playing career with the Lions. Well, the Lions now, they have been having a tendency to drop troubled players in the fucking nick of time. Bugs, he was cut. And then since the season ended, he ended up getting picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs, so fucking world champions, right? Didn't they win it all again? I think so. Yeah, they beat San Francisco. But then since the Lions cut him, he got picked up. And then about a few weeks ago, there was a story about him being charged with animal cruelty, which that's an ugly one to get. And there he had something to do with like dogs at his house were tied up to the porch. He wasn't there. There was no food and water for the dogs. And everybody's like, oh, what the fuck is up with that? Jesus Christ. So he got charged for that. Well, all right. It continues to go south for this dumb fuck. After already facing animal cruelty charges, he's arrested in Alabama on a burglary case. Here, this is the guy. Maybe you recognize that face. That's him. You know what I mean? Just big, giant beard and tough guy. He was arrested on a charge of second-degree domestic violence and burglary. Domestic violence, burglary, and posted a $5,000 bond. His agent did not immediately return request for comment. Under Alabama law, domestic violence burglary charge applies when the victim of the alleged crime is a parent, child, or a current or former romantic partner of the suspect. Well, he did something. Let's see. Court documents not readily available. He got a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs, which is bullshit because he signed with them. I don't even know when they picked him up. By the way, bad news. Both dogs, one was euthanized because it was so badly in such bad shape. The other one's being treated for a disease of parvo or whatever. Lawyer denies that. So in the amount of time since the season ended, he's like, he gets cut by the Lions, like all bummed out. He gets picked up by the Chiefs. All of a sudden, he's the Super Bowl champion. And then he's charged with the cruelty to animals. And now he's charged with domestic violence burglary. Wow, that's a lot going on there. Fuck, I get stressed out when I got to get a fucking, you know, tank of gas. So the Lions are done with that piece of shit. Fuck that guy. And then prior to that, you remember that story about that Cam Sutton guy? Who, I don't know what the fuck happened with him. What was that? Cam Sutton. And then didn't somebody die? I don't even remember the exact story of what he did. It was a domestic violence incident. Okay. Yes. God, it all runs together to me. He finishes up his season with the Lions. And then he beats the shit out of some chick. Nobody knows about it at this point. She calls the cops. Cops like, all right, we're on the lookout for Cam Sutton of the Detroit Lions, but we haven't yet put the APB out yet. Right about the time that It's announced, hey, Cam Sutton is wanted by the cops. He shows up into the Lions training facility, and he sees the team president. The team president goes, hey, Cam. And Cam Sutton goes, hey, boss. President goes, hey, good to see you. What are you up to? I'm going to go lift some weights. All right, man. Hey, looking forward to next year. Yeah, kick ass. Fucking hey. Sutton starts pumping iron. Team president, it says, alert. Cam Sutton wanted by cops. Notification. He's like, holy fucking shit. Gets up from his desk, goes over to the waiver, goes, Cam. Yeah? The cops are after you, you dumb fuck. What are you doing? And he's like, hey, hang on. I got to go take a leak. Okay, yeah. You got to go turn yourself in. Oh, okay, no problem. And then he leaves. Lions immediately cut him, and then he's, like, missing. And then after, like, a week and a half, he turns himself in. You're thinking, that's it. This is done, right? Nope. When the Lions picked this piece of shit up, we got him from Pittsburgh. Well, now he's back with Pittsburgh. Jesus Christ. You know why this is so bad, okay? The fact that this happens, beats the shit out of some chick, and he's going to get rewarded for it. This is what's so bad with professional athletics. You can, if you're even an average player, which he is, he's not even any good. The guy fucking sucks shit. You can still like make millions of dollars, and that's fucking stupid to me. Yeah. Jeremy says Cam Sutton beat up his girlfriend, strangled her, then went on the lam. What the fuck? All right, speaking of pieces of shit beating up chicks, do you remember that story about Sean Combs or whatever the fuck he goes by, P. Diddy? He was dating that chick years ago, and then video showed up. There was video of him beating the shit out of her in the hotel room hallway. And then it just surfaced. Well, then he went on like an apology tour. It was real embarrassing. Not so much embarrassing, just evil and sinister. I mean, the fact that he's like, oh, boy. And he was acting like he was all apologetic and about his behavior. Is terrible. Piece of shit. And this is all part of the crumbling of his world. Now, the chick, the ex, she is the one who's been shining a bright light on this guy. You know, she's pissed off about something. And so, you know, she's tipping off cops about the terrible shit he's been getting raided. His residence has got raided, more than one residence, by like by cops, authorities, local, federal, you name it. And they're like, this guy's up to no good. Now, his lawyers are like, yeah, she is a piece of shit. She tried to extort him for $1 million. Well, whenever I hear that, I'm like, well, hold on a second here. Maybe. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that these things are not happening. Okay? Let's say Pooh Bear goes to heaven and leaves me here. And then I start dating some chick who's a piece of shit. And she's worth like $100 million. And she's trafficking young boys. And I know that. And then we break up. And then I say, hey, I would give me $1 million or I'm going to tell everybody about all the young boys you're trafficking. That is absolutely on my playbook. Okay? I can understand why someone would do that. Well, that's what this chick did. Give me $1 million, fuckface. Fuck you. All right. So now she goes to cops. He's fucked. Eric Adams from the city of New York, the mayor. Some time ago, he gave Sean Combs the key to the city. He said, hey, man, you are all about New York. Hard work, perseverance, key to the city. After all this shit, like, and this was his quote at the time. This happened in a Times Square ceremony under 1 year ago, September of 2023. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, said the bad boy of entertainment is getting the key to the city from the bad boy of politics. Eric Adams said at the time, I don't know. I think he should lose his job for, first of all, referring to Sean Combs as the bad boy of entertainment. And by saying that he is, in fact, the bad boy of politics. What? This Eric Adams is a fucking idiot. On Who Are These Broadcasters, we've featured a lot of clips of this guy. He's a fucking jerk. Stupid. Well, anyway, that's what he said. Gives him the fucking key to the city. Since then, facing lawsuits about abuse, he's been raided, accusations of sexual assault, accusations of sexual misconduct, beating the shit out of the girlfriend back in 2016, 8-year-old video where he's acting like, oh, yeah, I'm so bad. He's trying to fix it. It's like goes on an apology tour. It's way embarrassing. So now they demanded the key to the city back, and he gave it back. The mayor, I didn't know you could do that. I mean, if you give the key to the city to someone, that they can say, hey, man, we need that key back. How stupid is this? If you're the mayor, just say, yeah, we should have never given him the key to the city. You don't ask for it back. Who gives a fuck whether or not he gives the key back? Who's the first person that ever got a key to the city? And who actually started it? We're giving you the key to the city. So dumb. Howard University rescinded an honorary degree to Combs that they had awarded him back in 2014. They cut financial ties with him. So it's all coming unraveled. If you're that chick, she's like, I bet you would have been better off. You'd have paid me, motherfucker. Of course, she wouldn't be blowing the lid off this. She's probably pretty sinister herself. But still. Chris says, bad boy, Chris K says, Bad Boy Records is Diddy's record company. Oh. So there you go. So the bad boy of entertainment, which he's not, I guess he could be, and the bad boy of politics met up. Well, that's just great. Let's see. Is my work done here? Ladies and gentlemen, it is. And just in time, because I'm about to get started with another afternoon of the fun hits you know on Big 101.3. Thank you very much. As usual, you've been a wonderful audience. Till next time, thank you. Into the Patreon bonus podcast. Thank you for being here. I'm your old pal EZ, welcoming you back. Pooh Bear was telling me that while she was working at the YMCA, she has this gig where, you know, people like bring their kids in while they like go to work out, you know. And it's called like the kids zone or the daycare. Well, I don't know. She's been doing it for quite some time, for a number of years. Well, all the other, there's a couple other young people that are working there, a couple of young kids, like teenagers, and another mom. They're like, God, oh no, one of these kids, I think a diaper needs to be changed. And Pooh Bear's like, yep, Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gonna find out what's going on here. And so they're, like, checking diapers, you know, to see. Because some of the kids are so young, you know, they're, like, they're in diapers. It makes sense. And then this, it's like, again, it happens again. I'm like, oh, God. They're not finding any of the kids have crapped their pants. It's like, it's not bad. It's like, what's going on? Well, maybe they're, I guess they're farting. The kids are, yeah. Then I was like, oh my God. Yeah. These kids, man, who knows what, God only knows what they eat in their houses. I mean, you never know. They might just have terrible diets or something. Well, the reality is that none of those kids were having any gastrointestinal issues. But Pooh Bear was. And so she was massively farting, these bad, bad, meaty blood farts that were horribly smelly, just garbage shit. And she kept, like, farting, and then when she realized that everybody was getting grossed out, and then they're like, oh, but she was like, oh, no, they're going to bust me. And then everybody started blaming the kids, so she's like, oh, thank God. That's fantastic. So she knew she had cover, so she just kept farting away. Kenny says, and she let them blame the kids? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would do the same thing. And then yesterday, I came walking in the house, and right away, I'm like, oh, boy. And I'm looking around because I'm expecting to see a big pile of shit from the dog. And I go, did you walk in the house and fart? And she says, yeah. I go, oh, God damn it. Like, what's the problem? I don't know. I go, give me your keys. I got to move your car because I had to move it for some reason. I go sit in the car, and then I realize, I'm like, oh, God. It's like a million times worse. You've been shitting in the car, and the car is closed, and I get into this fucking hot box. I'm like, oh, my God. Ooh. I said that I get out. I come back in the house. I go, the car was a million times worse. I go, I don't know. I go, you need to go take a shit. You got to get this out of your system. I don't know what you're doing wrong, but you're, I don't know what you're consuming, but this, it's bad. So I didn't make a big deal about it, but I ended up trading in that old camper, and we got another one. So we're excited to use it. And the fucking thing, I told you about all the malfunctions. Well, I took it to, you know, this place to get the generator repaired. It's brand new. This is a brand new fucking thing. So it's, you just put in the keys, you go, and go see the world. This is what we do. And taking it out twice, and both times, it's been fucked up. And the latest was that generator, you know, you put this big generator, it can power a whole fucking house. And it stops working. So driving back from my dad's, it's 100 degrees in the, I mean, it's literally inside of where the passengers are. It was 98 degrees. You got to take it to a place. It's Cummins is the big name in generators. And that's a Cummins generator on that fucking thing. So it's all under warranty. It's all good. Thank God you know, even if I didn't have the warranty, this is all covered because I just got the fucking thing. So there's like, it's been repaired. They go, okay, it's fixed. Come get it. I go, well, what was it? Well, this. There's like five things that were on this thing that were a problem. Yeah, we had to rebuild all this. And it's like, It's like it went through a tornado or something. And I go, how can something that had never been used before be fucking broken? I didn't say it like that. And he goes, dude, I don't know. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Fucking A. Megan says he does warranty work. Oh, you're talking about Bruce, my man, Bruce. Yeah, I believe it. Bruce is a legend in these parts. I'm glad it's good to know that Bruce is back in town, at least for a little while. That guy's living the dream right there. Love him. Megan says, freaking machines, man. It happens. Okay. Now, in case you don't know, tomorrow is big because we're going to have the big review with commentary, which has never happened before, of the Mr. 10 video. Now, when we first reviewed it on the radio, you couldn't see what we were reviewing. We had to describe it to you. So that's one way of doing it. Not as impactful, though, because you don't have the visual of what you're seeing. Since then, the video has been made available, but there hasn't been anything of me or anyone reviewing it. On this show, I played it once, but I didn't really park on it. It's very difficult for me to even... it's just weird. It's just weird for me. It's so embarrassing. This is a really, really fucking embarrassing moment in my life. But it's a good idea to break this down. Ben is going to have a hell of a laugh. All of you, some of you had never seen that before. So it's up to you. You can watch it ahead of time and then be part of the review. If you have any questions about, okay, what's going on here? What was this? What were you thinking? This video even has like interview. You know how like there's like a question and answer in the in like the Miss Universe question or pageant or Miss USA? They had that. So you've got 20-year-old Eric doing question and answer. And I, look, I was the way I carried myself was such a douchebag. This is so fucking bad. And you're going to get a great laugh out of this. So let me just tell you, if you are just an audio subscriber to the Patreon for just 1 week or just 1 month, I don't give a fuck what you do. You got to upgrade this thing. Okay? You must. To see this all go down. Kenny says, I watched a video yesterday of a guy who bought an unopened launch day Xbox 360. He opened it and plugged everything in, and he got the red ring of death, which means it's irreparable. Jeremy writes, I know a guy who blew the motor in his truck, put a brand new Cummins into it, $30,000 plus, including labor. Thing blew up before he got 1,000 miles on it. I hope that's not the case. This is what I'm scared of. I'm scared of taking this trip and breaking down, but even more so, like the air conditioning going out or something like that, when the dog is in there, and then we come back, and the dog's like dead. That scares the shit out of me. Can you imagine? Holy fuck. Now it's in my own head. Kenny writes, first world problems, LOL. That's right. Well, the dog one, I think, is actually scary, but... You're right. All of this stuff. Oh, man, how am I going to get to my fucking destination on time? Things are so fucking tough. There are people that most of the world most of the world that exists today, the top priority is like catching a rat to eat. Okay? The majority of people that are alive on the planet would be excited beyond belief to catch a rat to eat. And we sit there and we're like, oh, shit, man. Fucking the AC is not cooling the house the way it's supposed to. What the fuck? Oh, man, I'm out of milk. I gotta go up the road 1 mile in my car to get another gallon. Shit. My pal David Veldink. They sponsored some child in like a village in Africa. And dirt poor. Nothing. We're talking adobe hut, no electricity, no running water, no internet, nothing like that. I mean, the most entertaining thing that they can do is like hit a fucking bongo and dance around the fire 5 times. No, all homemade clothes, no shoes, nothing. We're talking fucking unga bunga. Okay? That's where this kid lived. So they made a arrangement through the Christian organization Charity to get to actually go and visit Unga Bunga and bring her to the U.S. for like a few days. So he did it, and he goes all the way there. They see the village. You're like, oh, this is, you know, whatever. And then imagine the shock getting her, transporting her into like an airplane, and it's just blowing her mind. Now, she had seen planes in the sky, but obviously had never been in a plane, this kid we'll call Unga Bunga. It was a girl. I don't know who the fuck she is. But she legit thought there was some type of wizardry going on at the hotel that they were at. The hotel was a suite, and there was a glass divider separating like the main living area and the kitchenette area. For whatever reason, it was part of the decor, but functional too. It's a glass pane. And Unga Bunga is walking, and she walked poof, right into the glass pane. And it did not break, but, I mean, it hurt, first of all. And then, she didn't know what was happening. She had never seen glass before. All she knows is she can see through this and wants to walk, and so she did it again. She thought, what? And then she starts freaking out because she thinks it's goddamn witchcraft, like a fucking force field or some shit. So Dave's like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is going on here? What the fuck's the matter with her? I don't know. What the fuck? I don't speak this shit. So they finally, there's like an interpreter who was like out getting ice or some shit. And she comes back. She's freaking out, drops the ice. Ice goes flying. Unga Bunga, Unga Bunga, it's okay. It's okay. It's glass. They're trying to explain to Unga Bunga what the fuck is going on here. But she has no clue. And she's just freaked out because it hurt and she can't walk through it, and they have to very carefully explain what's happening to her as to what it is. Kenny writes, she was the first human being to ever experience what insects and birds deal with on a daily basis. Yeah. our birds are more worldly. They know more shit about the actual world, us here in the West, than Unga Bunga. Think about that. Can you imagine living in a world that you didn't even know what glass was? Most of the world would fucking... That's why if there's ever a war, like a giant world war, we're going to fuck everybody up. We're going to win that fucking thing. Because they might have numbers, but they don't know fucking shit. We could stop the lion's share of them with just a piece of glass. We would kick their ass is what we'd do. It'd be 10 billion to our 300 million. We'd slaughter them. Wouldn't even be close. We probably wouldn't even suffer any fucking casualties. We would kill those bastards. Kenny writes, hunger, war destroying everything around them. Eric, he's just hoping he can drive to fucking Maine with AC. Funny story that took place. This is a Q100 related story. A couple of the ladies in management, they think I'm a fucking idiot. The first thing that happened was I said, hey, I'm taking a vacation for this main vacation. I'm going to take 5 days off. Oh, you gotta apply for that. Now, I don't. I have a contract with them, but I am a 1099 contracted employee. It's straight up service pay. Service pay. I don't have to do shit. I do because it's nice, and I want nothing more than there to be a nice exchange of my services for pay. But technically, that's it. Now, there's a few things written out in the contract, which are very basic, you know, this, that, and the other thing, which are no big deal. But I'm like, all good. Don't even worry about that. Yes, I agree to everything. Well, the one thing that I did not know of and was not aware of was that I guess there is a rule that no one is allowed to take a vacation in July. So I had no idea about this. None. And so my vacation is in July. Now, I don't know this at the time, but I guess that didn't, it was not received well by the brass. And again, technically, it doesn't matter. I mean, if I was a jerk, I would just say, ah, go fuck yourself, or it's not in the contract, you know? So I get on the phone. They hey, can we get some time with you? And I go, yeah, sure. What's going on? And they're a little bit rankled about me taking days off in July. And there's a reason for that. It's the busiest month of the radio station, I was told. And they go, hey, when we said no July, we meant no July. And so, Eric, I'm keeping a level head on this. And I'm like, this is the first I have heard of this. All was in an email. And I go, I have not gotten the email. And they said, oh, we've got that you were on the sending of it. And I go, I understand that. I haven't seen the email. Okay. And I could sense, you ever like get the sense that they're just not buying it, whoever it may be? That they actually don't believe you, but they're not saying, hey, we don't believe you. And then there was another conversation that was had. It doesn't matter what it was about, but it same result. And you didn't respond, Eric. And I go, I didn't get the email. And they go, well, you didn't get that email either. I go, I did not. Okay. So now I'm like, these people think I'm a fucking idiot. And then the line, well, since it appears that your email challenged, and I just go, I'm not email challenged. I know how to work email. I don't say anything. I just sit there and take the punishment. Well, it appears that your email challenged. We're going to have to explain how it works. I go, okay. So yesterday was my training course on email. So I get the boss lady on the phone. And then she goes, okay. I'm going to send you an email right now. Time passes. Did you get it? I go, I did not. She goes, huh, okay. I go, how about I send an email from my work email to my personal account? Now, I have already done this. I did this days ago. This was the first thing I did. So now, even though they said I'm email challenged, I know I'm not, and I know this is not on my end. Okay? So I go, hey, well, maybe I should. So I have her on the phone. Maybe I should do this. Now I know it works. And she goes, yeah, do that. So I did it. I go, I received the email. I go, you know what? And she goes, huh? I go, do you want me to send one from my personal to the work? She goes, yeah. So I sent it. And it came through perfectly. I go, it worked. She goes, huh? So it is fine. This is not my problem. She goes, I'm going to send an email to the girl at the desk next to me in the office. I go, okay. She sends it. But before that, she goes, let me let you go. I go, no problem. Hang it up. Meeting over. This is the email that I said to her, I go, if you need anything, why don't you send it to my personal email right now? Well, it's my show email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. The Shoreliner Striping inbox. I know that one's perfect too. This is the email I got on the Shoreliner Striping inbox yesterday. All caps, important emails. The Q100Michigan.com email server is not working. We are trying to resolve. Unbelievable. So that happened. Again, I didn't do anything. I just found it funny that this went from, oh, you know, your email challenge and you should have taken your vacation. What? I didn't. That's the first time I've heard it. That's the first time I've heard of any of those things. And then also in that phone call, I got a EZ. We really need you to be on site at the radio station for the last week in July. We really need that. Now, the way it was asked, I got the impression that they've been asking me that for weeks. And I have just ignored it. That's what I think they had been thinking, because apparently their email challenged. And so she voiced that. She goes, we really need you up here for that week because it's a big week. It's our big canoe festival or some shit. And I go, that sounds great. Any excuse for me to get up north, I'm there. I told you that. Yeah, why? What's the big deal? Well, we hadn't heard from you. I go, well, what the fuck? Kenny says, okay, I don't know why nobody else is commenting back that shit-eating grin when you just read that about their email server not working was hilarious. I think I know what you mean by that. I knew it was coming. Fuck yes. Okay, I got to go. I got to go to a show with Christian Blatt. We're about to do Who Are These Broadcasters? Remember, Diana's farts stink. As always, you've been an amazing audience. Upgrade to tier, whatever it is, tier two for the video for tomorrow's Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, where we will review the Mr. 10 video. from so many years ago. Thank you. Bye-bye.